This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like expecting the leadership of a team captain on the football field, but getting a sea captain. You wouldn't settle for just anything for your team. Shouldn't it be the same for your insurance? So don't settle for just any insurance when you can go with a leader. State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I was looking for fun ways to tell you that Mint's offer of unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month is back. So I thought it would be fun if we made $15 bills. But it turns out that's very illegal. So there goes my big idea for the commercial. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Check it out.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Yes!
Rich Eisen.
That boy is good.
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Frank Caliendo here.
What would John Madden say?
We're going to steal the Declaration of Independence.
Earlier on the show, host of Pro Football Talk Live, Mike Florio. Coming up, ESPN NFL analyst Mina Kimes. Actor Kyle MacLachlan. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of this Thursday edition of the Rich Eisen Show on the kickoff of week number two in Green Bay, Wisconsin tonight between the Commanders and the Packers is on the air. Mina Kimes is going to join us in 20 minutes. If you missed hour number one, Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk was on this program breaking down a lot of the news that's going on. Also, one of our callers called in when higher register, which those who might be new to this program, we always point out when people go higher register, it's to say something they don't really believe in. They have to go higher register to actually mean what they say or a prediction that they're kind of half-hearted in doing. And so later on, we're going to bring back that segment. We've been doing it for a while, but we stopped doing it. For the higher register, we're going to each have a prediction for week two that we kind of believe in. But you have to go higher register in order to believe.
People have been asking for it.
You know?
Which means they really want to see
it. And trust me, just be careful when you watch this segment, you take it in, as you will notice when others in your life go higher register, and it's a tell.
Yeah, it's a big time tell.
It is a tell. And also, in hour number one, we have a new toy that I've been playing with quite a bit. It's from yesterday's program. If you missed Frank Caliendo, he was genius. He broke out a new Jerry Jones, and we have a new drop.
Macca.
So anytime we talk about Parsons.
TJ
can't get enough.
We might not. We got to cut that.
No, I don't think so.
I can't.
Macca.
Well, in hour three,
snorting a sneeze.
Get ready.
What's going on?
Get ready. You got to snort and a sneeze. It's coming around to me. I don't know how.
This is cold.
It's coming around
season.
The room. A little rondelay over here. A little wheel route. In hour three, we're previewing tonight's show, tonight's game, and predicting it. And so later on, we might have one more drop opportunity. Just hit it one more time.
Macca.
I just muted my mic.
So that's tonight's game. And we all know the marquee, if you will, on the Sunday marquee. With all due respect to Sunday Night Football and our friends at NBC, as you know, I will be full on tuned in to Sunday Night Football to see how J.J. McCarthy opens up his home start schedule. And I will be all
you
there.
Know?
You know, I will be all in on the pregame and the throughout the game video of the last time he faced Michael Penix Jr. Because that was the greatest night of my football life.
You were there, right?
I was not.
Oh, you didn't go to that?
No, I didn't. I went to the Rose Bowl and stayed here.
Right.
So I was not at the national championship game in Houston, but listen,
big fan.
We all know the piece of filet mignon on the week two schedule belongs to our friends at Fox. When Tom Brady, TB12, will be sitting next to Kevin Burkhardt in the booth, and we'll be settling into a Super Bowl rematch. So, what's at stake? We all know what's at stake. I have it written down here just to make sure I haven't forgotten it, because I'm a lead pipe wielding professional. Would you care to guess the last time the Kansas City Chiefs started 0-2? Christopher Brockman? You want to guess? You want to guess? Anybody? Bueller?
2021?
Nope. TJ?
Oh, wait. 2015.
Oh, you're so close. But if it was Price is Right rules, you're still over.
Ah.
2014.
So I win.
I guess, because you went all the way
back. What do you
back.
Mean you guess? No, that's you how did. The game works.
You did. We
I
have
was under.
Guys, we have some nice parting gifts for you.
Hey.
2014 was the last time the Kansas City Chiefs went 0-2. It was the only time in Andy Reid's 13 years, including this year tenure of the Kansas City Chiefs, in which the Chiefs did not make the playoffs. Missed it entirely. He went 9-8. So Mahomes has never started 0-2. They're staring it right down the pike right now. And, of course, all the questions this week are about what happened last time they faced each other, which was an absolute tar and feathering beatdown of the Kansas City Chiefs. Absolute disaster. I mean, the fact that the Super Bowl lost to Tampa, which caused the Chiefs to say, we can't let our wunderkind run around for his life anymore. We got to hit that offensive line. We got to go ahead and do something significant to prevent this from happening again. And what the Eagles did to Mahomes was sack him a career high 6 times in a game. That was a new low point for him in running for his life. So, of course, Mahomes was asked how much he revisits that moment in advance of this rematch this weekend.
I watch every game after, so you have to learn from it. I mean, it sucks that you lose the game, but in order to progress and to be better next time, you have to watch it and learn from it. And so I don't know the exact amount of times, but you watch it, and then you watch it in the off season with the team and with the coaches, and then you watch it obviously this week as well. And so they had a great game plan. They played hard and did a great job of disrupting my timing. And so I have to learn from that, find ways to get the ball out of my hand, and then when the opportunities are there, I think that's something I did miss early in the game, is there was opportunities to make plays, and you got to make those plays, because if you don't, they're not going to allow those opportunities again.
Keep an eye on whether Xavier Worthy is playing, because when we had Andy Reid in our pre-broadcast Zoom in advance of the YouTube game in Brazil, Reid was talking about, and all of them were talking, Reid and Mahomes and Travis Kelce, about how everybody took responsibility for their hand in that Super Bowl loss and how healthy that was. Like Andy Reid was, we asked him about how do you help your team bounce back from something like that? And he said, just listening to them, because everybody was talking about what they didn't do, not what everyone else wasn't doing, which is why seeing Drew Tranquil bark at Chris Jones in the loss in Brazil, it's the opposite of that. Now we had Chris Long on yesterday's program, or 2 days ago, and he basically said, that's healthy. Dante Hightower barked at me back in the day, and we were cool. So, listen, what Reid said in taking his own responsibility is he said that Xavier Worthy, there was an opportunity to have a package for him in the quick game, and they weren't able to execute it. They didn't do it. Kind of went away from it in that game, and that's where he said, we do have a significant package for him in Brazil. And then 3 snaps in, collision with Travis Kelce, and that goes out the window. How much action will we see from Xavier Worthy, if at all? Because that would be significant. Because everybody would slay now gone is going right at the side that Quinyon Mitchell isn't. We saw your Cowboys do that. We saw CeeDee Lamb have quite the night, you know.
Went after Dory Jackson, yeah.
And that's where I think the Chiefs are going to be trying to make some hay here. And the question is, with who? Is it with Hollywood Brown? Could it be with Xavier Worthy? What are we going to see there? And then, of course, you know, how are they going to protect up front? Now, they do have the highest paid center and right guard. And those are the guys I imagine that will be paying attention to Jalen Carter, whose return gives the Eagles more than a spitting chance.
Woo!
I find myself so funny.
We'll be here all week, folks. Tip your server.
Very expensive saliva that man has. I mean, just a little.
Just a,
if, if a little spittle is $57,000 worth, could you imagine what the whole thing is?
Might have been a lot.
Okay.
Just looked up, you know.
So he'll be playing his first action of the season, and I imagine the Eagles will target A.J. Brown once before the final drive of the game. This time around,
almost guaranteed higher register.
I'm going higher register. Maybe I don't think I have to go that high to believe it.
I would bet he gets the first play of the game.
You think so? Yeah. Just let's go. Hey, yeah. Devontae Smith didn't have much going in his direction either.
Yeah, but he's not going to complain.
Well, AJ Brown didn't either.
Well, we remember last year.
I remember the year before. He's reading books, trying to stay calm and find his inner excellence. I know. Eagles, if you recall, last year started 2-2, and everybody's like, "What's going on there?" And snap, cut to 4 months later,
confetti.
Yeah, they're greasing telephone poles. So we'll see here with the Eagles. You know, their opening night seemed to be just like the Cowboys after the rainstorm—a bit of a gear grind. But they made the right plays. They're going into Arrowhead. How much will that matter? Significantly, I would say. Again, I just counsel everybody that the Chiefs are gettable right now. Let's see how things work out over the next 6 weeks. If you do get them, because they are beatable in your mind, just I remind you, Rashee Rice comes back. It's a long marathon. And then in between, even with everything, with Xavier Worthy going out and with them having, just like last year, multiple drives of 10-plus plays, grinding it out, you know. I know Butker missed an extra point, but he nailed one from 59 out in a fire drill. You know, the punt god was still downing the ball inside the 10. Defensively, I know Chris Jones took that poor path and that they were out of sorts defensively, and I think Mina Kimes is joining us to talk about that shortly. They still had a chance to win that game. As for the Eagles, Jalen Hurts, I was told, gave a bunch of bulletin board material to the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, wait a minute. I'm told that's the exact opposite.
It's just another opportunity for us. You know, that's been my approach on it. You know, we got a lot that we can learn from this past week. We know we're playing a really good team. It's a new team. And we're a new team, but just approaching it with that mentality and just taking really a day at a time with our preparation.
Do you get extra excited for going up against Patrick Mahomes, someone that's viewed as, if not the best, one of the best quarterbacks in the league? You faced him before. Does that get you extra up for a game like
this? It's just another opportunity. I look at it as another opportunity, you know, looking inward and just focusing on the things that we can build on as a team. As I said last week, there are a lot of opportunities to grow from. We're playing a new team. We're a new team, and we just want to approach it with that. Be diligent every single day in our prep.
I'm just wondering, deep down, Jalen Hurts, like, you excited to play Patrick Mahomes, Jalen? You excited about that? Do you have the drop, Jay Felly?
What were they really thinking?
I'm just wondering if what Jalen Hurts was really thinking is like, I have a follow-up question for you, kind sir of the media. Who's the reigning Super Bowl MVP? Oh, who's the guy who was on an offense that eviscerated Patrick Mahomes' defense, allowing my defense to do the same to Mahomes? Oh, okay. Who's the guy who has come from the middle of nowhere on depth charts in Alabama and here, where nobody thought I was going to get a chance and everyone's wondering, why am I still here? Who's turned into the man? Oh, why don't you go ask Patrick Mahomes if he's excited at an opportunity to take on a quarterback that was the last MVP of the Super Bowl? Why don't you go ask him that question? I'm wondering, is there an even slight sliver of an ounce of that in Jalen Hurts. He'll never show it.
Never.
Ever.
Ever.
Show it.
It's in there.
But what
it's
do you think?
For sure
but
he
it's
won't
in there.
Do, he won't let it
for
out.
Sure
he keeps that animal cage. But everyone, he's got the, like he said when he called in years ago, Rich, he's got the dog in him, right?
He keeps that animal caged until game day, right?
I mean, it might come out in practice.
Yeah, practice, weight room,
hey, game weight day. Weight room for sure.
Would anybody ask Patrick Mahomes that question? Hey, Patrick, you excited to take on any other quarterback in the league? Name another one.
Rich,
Josh Allen?
If you want to put me on a flight to KC, I guarantee you that question gets asked.
Okay, I don't. No, I don't think. Okay. So, I mean, be careful. You don't want to mess with your invite to all the weddings in Kansas City. Stone Street.
That's true.
If he does it again in front of people.
Yeah, good point there.
Kelsey. Listen, I'll tell you, I'm one of my favorite storylines coming into the season is how will Mahomes internalize and externalize getting beat and hearing everybody say it's the time to get the Chiefs and the window's closing, if not closed. And he showed up looking like Mahomes has never looked body shape wise. And he was really spry. In Brazil, he looked ready to roll, guys.
Ready to roll.
And he, you know, ran one. And I'm telling you, that's one way to come into this. I was coming to the season. I can't wait to see in this game. And the other one that I was mentioning is how will Jalen Hurts wear being the Super Bowl MVP? By that, I mean externally and then internalize it with his play. And I can't wait to see this. On the field in Arrowhead, if he goes in and just like it's we're back and it's the same thing and you're now 0-2 for the first time ever in the Mahomes era and we're coming out of Arrowhead with a new Chiefs pelt on our wall from the Super Bowl and your home opener and you're 0-2 for the first time and now and the Eagles stroll into the rest of their season 2-0 like that and their next game is at home against the Rams and the you know, they'll probably be hearing if this matters from parts like this and all around. Hey, that's the team that gave you the most trouble last year. You know, if somehow, some way they blocked Jalen Carter, you know, Mahomes, Stafford had somebody open in the snow, you might not have gone anywhere. Then Tampa, which is had fun at the Eagles' expense going back to the SAP era and then the current team.
Yeah, Gerald McCoy mentioned that on game day last week. What is it? 1-4 against the Bucs their last five?
Here we go, man. And if they go into that stretch at 1-1, and the Chiefs now feel good about themselves at 1-1 because they've exercised a ghost in turning a page, that's what's at stake.
Let me ask you this.
Sunday afternoon.
If it is a similar blueprint and outcome of the Super Bowl, will you then be worried about the Chiefs?
At 0-2, seeing the same thing? I'd be worried about their chances to win the division again, but not bouncing back and making the playoffs and being a wild card team and going on another different type of run where it's now on you to have your best day and you're the ones that have to knock off the champs of your conference. But losing the division is a real possibility when you're 0-2. Although the one thing about this loss that could, that's the if a silver lining is it's out of conference.
Yeah, non-conference, non-division.
Right. So it's still only 0-1 in conference and division. But the concern about them missing the playoffs entirely like the last time they're 0-2? Nuh-uh. No, sir. Not at all.
Yeah, me neither. I was just curious if it's a similar Super Bowl outcome.
I appreciate you were curious and you asked the question.
Hey, that's why I'm here.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Mina Kimes will join us coming up. We'll talk about her thoughts on this subject matter. Right next on the Rich Eisen Show. What is it that makes the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid an incredible SUV? Is it the spacious interior that's comfy for the whole crew? Or the capability to go off-road? Maybe it's up to 600-plus miles of range. Is it the driver behind the wheel? What if it's all of that and more? What is it then? The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. So much more than just another SUV. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. That's 562-314-4603. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Tapping into your home's equity shouldn't come at a high price. That's why we offer our home equity loan options. We cover 100% of closing costs, which could save you hundreds. And with our fixed equity loans, you can consolidate debt and lower your monthly payments. Plus, we have no application or origination fees. So if you want to get more out of your home base, learn more at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender. Membership required. Loans subject to approval. Call 1-888-842-6328 for details about credit costs.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Back on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. I have not seen our next guest since we hung out on the Sports Center set together, something I haven't said about anybody in 22 years. And we see Mina Kimes on all fashions of ESPN programming. Good to see you again, Mina. How are you? Good to see you.
I'm great, and I felt incredibly fortunate, blessed, thrilled, the honor of a lifetime. You know, I was a thrill. It was such a thrill.
For her, you know what I mean? No, but you don't have to tee anything up, Chris. You know, you don't have to tee a thing up. Certainly when it involves, well, whatever. It was great to have you that night. That was a blast. Like, honestly, I don't know how I was to you, but I was, I was out of body. I might have blacked out a couple times, you know, just, it was wild. Mina,
I actually worried that I was not ruining it, although I'm sure some corners of the internet. No. I felt bad because how much I was laughing during your highlights.
But I like that.
It was.
You
it was
have
so.
No idea.
I was just like, I don't want to laugh so hard that people can't actually hear what he's saying.
No, but that's great.
So funny.
No, I did stand up in college, and it's not like it's the job of cohorts or anybody behind a camera on a set to laugh at anything that I'm doing.
And yet,
and if I don't get that feedback, I think something isn't working. So I appreciate, and I like that. That's normal, right? Like, you say something funny, I can laugh. I say something funny, you can laugh. And it doesn't matter if we're on TV. It's relatable to somebody at home. I don't mind that at all. Mina,
okay, good.
Ever.
That was the one thing I was like, oh, I hope I didn't laugh over him.
No,
doing
and again,
baseball highlights in particular were very funny.
But I mean, again, back in the Sports Center days, you know, like we would laugh at each other's stuff. And, Stewart would hop in all my highlights like nonstop, you know, and that happened. But it was great. And I appreciate you being there that night, you know, and what a game that was, too, that we were following of somewhat import of preseason, Commanders and Bengals. And now here we are on a night tonight where the Commanders are taking on the Packers. That's my first item up for bids for you, is how you think tonight's game is going to play out and what the key for this evening is.
I mean, what a Thursday night showdown. They must be grateful over at Amazon to get this one, especially after how the Packers looked week one. I think that's what I'm so interested in, Rich, is the Packers look like a Super Bowl team, right?
Mm-hmm.
But week one, it's hard sometimes to know how good are these teams without putting them in proper context. And the Commanders are going to be a true challenge for them, particularly the run defense. That's the key that I'm so interested in because, despite losing the greatest run defender of all time, Kenny Clark, if you ask Jerry Jones, the Packers, yes. I feel bad. Kenny Clark's a great player. But the Packers run defense looked phenomenal against Detroit team that obviously was one of the best rushing attacks in football last year, held them to under 1.5 yards before contact per carry, which was 27th in the league. On the flip side, the Commanders were third in rushing yards before contact last week against New York. So this would be like a strength on strength matchup. And I think we're going to learn a lot about both teams, but I'm really interested, is that Packers run defense as good as they looked week one? I think we're going to find out tonight.
And then I guess another question would be, is the Commanders defense as good as what we saw against the Giants, or is it the Giants offense? Oh, you're already shaking your head. The Giants offense, where everybody in New York, New Jersey metropolitan area is looking where Jackson Dart is right now.
Oh, God. Mina. Well, that's a whole other We actually talked about that, I think, at the Sports Center, right? About Jackson Dart and how tricky it was to find a starting spot for him. But to focus on the Commanders defense for a second, I don't think so. I think that's one where it's like, okay, you got to face a pretty bad offense week one. And I think this is a massive challenge for Dan Quinn because, you know, this Green Bay Packers offense under Matt LaFleur has chewed up his defenses. You remember the wild card game against Dallas where they put up like a 48 burger, I think it was, on them, and Jordan Love was just having guys wide open off of play action. That's my concern, I think, in this game, is that side of the ball, because that, I think, Commanders offense versus Packers defense feels pretty evenly matched. I think potentially in this one, we're going to see that the Packers offense is too much for this Commanders defense.
Mina Kimes here on the Rich Eisen Show. You want to chime in on Seahawks? What you thought of their first week? Mina?
It kind of looked like what I expected, Rich, which is, this is one of the best defenses in the NFL. I truly believe that. And I think the offense is just a work in progress. A lot of moving parts, a lot of change. I think Clint Kubiak wants to run a system where Sam Darnold is under center, play action, wide zone rushing attack. But it's one thing to want to do that. It's another when you're a little bit outgunned on the offensive line. I think you also saw, outside of Jackson Smith and Jigba, just not many answers in terms of that receiving group, and he locked in on JSN, and JSN was fantastic, but I think that's going to be a problem all season long.
Okay, so your level of concern for Sam Darnold is what? What do you think?
I'm not panicking, because I don't think he was, like, he played super poorly, per se, but I also think he's so clearly in an inferior situation to what he was in Minnesota, and that's what it looked like, right? So I think it's just going to be, you know, I think he'll be competent for them. I think there'll be games against inferior defenses where this offense looks good. I just don't think they have enough dudes out there. They need like one of the young players, whether it's a Torrey Horton or an Elijah Arroyo, to step up as a secondary pass catcher to Smith and Jigba.
Yeah, I mean, Cooper Kupp, maybe it's just another couple of weeks to see if they can get on a similar page, because that's the idea. That's why they paid him all that cash to come from Los Angeles, right? Like to be the man. And that didn't happen in week one, you know, for instance.
I think it's going to have to be a youth movement there. And then you got old friend DK Metcalf coming to town this week. And I guess you could call it a revenge game, who I thought looked really good week one in that game against the Jets. And it's not like they chose Cooper Kupp over DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf is making significantly more money than him, and they got third round draft pick. But it is hard not to feel like this receiving group is missing something.
Mina Kimes here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then, what's your opinion of Mac Jones coming in now? You know, I was saying earlier on, Mina, that this is why you got him. You got him to perform well in a 2 to 5 week situation. And this is the guy that we all thought, or a lot of people thought, the Niners were targeting when they moved up to third overall back in the draft in 2021. So you know they like him. Now it's time to win with him.
Yeah,
ironic.
I am right of the belief that Kyle Shanahan did always want Mac Jones, and because he just had a lot of the qualities, it seemed, as a prospect that Shanahan has been known to like in his quarterbacks. I question whether or not the situation around Mac Jones is good enough to enable this offense to keep rolling. We know Kittle's out. Watching the week ones against Seattle, the offensive line to me had a lot of problems. Brock Purdy was under pressure a lot. Admittedly, again, like I said, against a very, very good defense. The run game looked just okay with McCaffrey back. And of course, you know, you don't have Brandon Ayuk. Ricky Pierce all looked good. But this is not like Mac Jones, you know, getting into the Ferrari and getting given the keys. If this was a couple of years ago, I would feel very different about him being slotted into this. And of course, Kyle Shanahan's, you know, one of the best play callers in the business, but this is not a great situation that he is stepping into. So I'm pretty skeptical of this Niners offense with him.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you don't want to go to your backup quarterback just two games into a season. That's not why you have the backup quarterback, but it is in case of emergency, break glass. I don't know. I feel like he is going to show up and show out, similar to, you know, when Darnold had his cup of coffee there in San Francisco. And that's why you go there, is to get the quarterback room and the Shanahan knowledge. And this is the type of quarterback that the Shanahans have been sort of looking at for a long time. And they do go to New Orleans, which, you know, did give Arizona some shots on Sunday. I'm just wondering if, you know, fourth place schedule, this is exactly the sort of thing that the Niners can get through before Purdy comes back.
The schedule's huge, and you're right to emphasize the New Orleans. The competition is big. Like, they can absolutely win this game, in part because they're playing the Saints, who I really do think are probably going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL this year. But, you know, when you I think you go into this Niners season, you think there's no way they can be as hurt as last year. Can't happen.
Right.
Injury luck in the NFL doesn't work that way. And then it just happens again. And I know the schedule is bad, but I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine them winning a lot of games with Mac Jones. I could be wrong, and they might win this one because it's New Orleans, but I just don't think that the pieces around him are what they were a few years ago.
Mina Kimes, a few minutes left with our friend from ESPN and all the family of shows that on which Mina appears right here on the Rich Eisen Show on Disney Plus, the ESPN app everywhere, and ESPN Radio. Week one moments, scenarios, narratives that formed that you're concerned about for the long haul. What's at the top of that list for you, Mina?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about the Chiefs, but not the offense, because I think the offense will be better when they get Rice back in particular, and the offensive line is young, and they're going to play together. The defense was really concerning to me week one, and I kind of think they maybe got slept on a little bit, you know, with Justin Reed departing. There's this feeling, it's the Chiefs, Steve Spagnuolo, they can insert any young cornerbacks back there and safeties, and everything's going to be fine. It did not look fine week one against the Chargers. Not enough pass rush, so they had to blitz, but then they couldn't cover behind the blitz. And you really worry this week. You know, you're going up against the Eagles, and I just don't know if they have the horses on the back end to compete the way that they have the last few years.
So to what do you owe such a thing? Because it's not like they've changed a lot. It's not like they changed coordinators. Could it be the Chargers are just that good? Maybe. Who knows?
It's definitely part of it. I think the Chargers passing attack is really good, and Justin Herbert was like unconscious in that game. But I also think Chris Jones, another year older, he's starting to lose. You know, one year it's L'Jarius Sneed gone. The next year it's Reed gone. The Chiefs have been really leaning on young players, not even outside of McDuffie, who's amazing, highly drafted players. And suddenly it's like, okay, well, you know, we don't have a lot of money invested on the back end of this defense. Maybe they're just not as good as we need them to be as these veterans start leaving.
And do you have an opinion on what the Giants should do at quarterback with Russ and Jackson Dart? Mina?
I'll tell you one thing. I have one very strong opinion, which is they should not put in Jackson Dart until Andrew Thomas is back and looks like Andrew Thomas. The schedule makes it really hard. This is what we talked about right on SportsCenter, like, because they got the Eagles, Broncos on like week 6, 7, 8. So yeah, you kind of don't want him. There's no soft spots on that schedule. But for me, it's all about the offensive line. Until that offensive line looks competent, do not start him.
But what if the offensive line hasn't looked competent in the last decade and a half, Mina? You know what I mean?
There's the rub.
We could all get
rub,
old,
right?
And gray waiting for that, yeah, as Giants fans would point out. You know what I mean? And that's the whole thing, too. Remember last year with New England, we're like, don't put Drake May in. Let Jacoby Brissett take all the slings and arrows. He's not ready. He's not ready. And then they put him in, and it's like, oh, wait a minute. Like, there's a possibility of an, oh, wait a minute. The thing that I'm looking to see is a pulse check of that locker room. If there's a large subset that gets larger that wants Jackson Dart in there, including Malik Nabers, who talked about his resting face in front of the media yesterday, blaming, you know, leaving his coach hanging, that he just looks angry when he's not, you know, like maybe there's a there that would lead to Dart, certainly if they don't show up in Dallas again.
You can also argue that Russell Wilson's making the offensive line work. You know, that's kind of a history there because he holds on to the football a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I just want, like, they don't have to be great. I'm not asking them to be, you know, one of the better offensive lines in the league. You would just like to see some competent left tackle play because you know that's coming. That's the other thing, Rich. Like, Thomas is going to come back, and he's an amazing player. So just let me at least see that. That's going to make me feel a lot more comfortable about putting the rookie in.
All right, last one for you. I'll ask you the question I asked Kurt Warner when he was on the program yesterday, Mina Kimes. It's sports talk radio and something you're used to with a topic bar and a split screen on ESPN. You can only choose one quarterback that played in MetLife on Sunday to say that week one performance is how we're going to see the rest of the year play out. Justin Fields, Aaron Rodgers, you have the floor. Mina Kimes.
Okay, so I want to start by saying I thought Justin Fields was fantastic. I thought he was actually the best quarterback in that game. However, I think what we saw from Rodgers is going to be what we're going to see all year long, which is really efficient quarterback play. He had like a really low average depth of target. He was accurate, set his receivers up to get yards after the catch, then hit a few kill shots off of the boots. That, I think, is something that's very replicable. With Fields, I just want to see it a little bit more as the season goes on. But boy, Rich, I thought Justin Fields was fantastic this weekend. Like, that was, to me, one of the more shocking performances of week one, because I did not have high hopes for the Jets offense, particularly coming off of the offseason, and they completely proved me wrong.
Yeah, and it wasn't just Fields, too. And maybe in Fields' appearance is what helped spark a run game as well. You know, Mike Tomlin at his podium this week, as I mentioned a couple times already on this show, up until I'm about to say it again, it's very rare for the Jets to have played anybody in the last couple of years to leave a coach, let alone Mike Tomlin, say, we need to button up our run defense after that last game. And they looked really efficient. So if the Jets offense can do what it does, we already know the defense has studs all over the place, and we assume Aaron Glenn on that side of the ball is going to keep coaching them up. Like, that's something to take a note of. Mina.
Yeah, they to me might be the most surprising team of 20. But again, this is week one, right?
Yes, it is, of course.
But the ground game that you alluded to, you're right. A lot of it did have to do with Fields in the backfield, because they were running just basically outside zone with him as a threat to keep. It looked great. The young right tackle, Armon Membu, against TJ Watt, I couldn't take my eyes off in this game how good he was. That feels sustainable. And this was the entire premise for the 2025 Jets. You have Justin Fields back there. He is one of the most dynamic dual threat quarterbacks in the league. Can you use that with your good suite of backs and all the invested in the offensive line to build a very good run game? Sure looked like it week one.
Still, you just need to see more of it before you declare Fields. And we've already seen what we've seen out of Rodgers in the past. And I guess that's what you'd go with Rodgers in this regard. Okay.
Just from the, like, to answer you, consistency.
Do you want to take a shot at tonight's game? Who wins? Before I let
I'm
you
on the I'm on the Packers because of the what I feel like is the discrepancy between them and the Commanders' defense. I think the other side of the ball is very evenly matched. But Rich, I got the Packers in the Super Bowl, and that was my preseason pick. So I'm probably not going to pick against them very often.
Well, who do you have in the AFC? Who do you have in the AFC?
I had the Ravens. I had Ravens Packers.
Brockman, you and Mina Kimes have the same exact pick.
Look at that.
Have you been watching Mina Kimes and stealing from her? Is that what's happening right now?
Very possible. Right here? Yeah, very, very.
Sampling,
very,
as Dan
possible.
Patrick likes
sampling.
To call it.
Sampling. Yeah, not straight off.
Mina, have a good NFL Live and your pod and everything else that you're doing. Let's do this again real soon. Thanks again.
Love it. Great to see you guys.
You got it. That's Mina Kimes, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH being the number to dial. And I think it was genuine that she said she was excited to have been on the Sports Center, even though you ruined it.
I don't think that's the case.
All right. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. When we come back, the return of our higher register segment. That's still to come right here on the Rich Eisen Show before Kyle MacLachlan joins us in person.
The Jack Welch Management Institute at Strayer University helps you go from I know the way to I've arrived with our top 10 ranked online MBA. Gain skills you can learn today and apply tomorrow. Get ready to go from make it happen to made it happen and keep striving. Visit strayer.edu/Jack Welch MBA to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV and has many campuses, including at 2121 15th Street North in Arlington, Virginia.
Brooks Running reminds us that we're all powered by something. Whether it's the me time energy of a run after a day at the office, the electrifying energy of your first marathon, or the infectious energy of a group run with your friends. No matter what energy powers you, Brooks has gear specifically designed to unleash it. So lace up and let it out. Let's run there. Visit brooksrunning.com today to learn more.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. If you're a renter, make sure you're protected. Renter's insurance includes options that cover stolen property, personal injury, and living expenses if your place is damaged. Quote, renter's insurance at progressive.com. Kyle MacLachlan is here. He's brought his Pursued by Bear wine, which I've seen everywhere. Had no idea it was his.
He's brought us some wine, which I love to do. And of course, you know, Sue's, I don't know if she's driving around or watching, but she texted me, you know, he's Dr. Trey McDougal on Sex and the City.
Yes, Sue, we know.
Very, very well aware of that. But I go way back to Dale Cooper days, man. We're going to give him a mug. We're going to have him drink some coffee from it. It's a damn fine cup.
Or some red wine. I mean, just whatever he prefers. You know what I mean? Honestly, I don't want to like.
Mug.
Yeah.
We're going to give him a coffee mug. Yeah. And I just want to hear that line when he's holding a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug, because the Twin Peaks fan of me is just doing cartwheels over that. I mean, seriously, that I get to hand him a mug with my show's name on it, okay, or my name on it with the show that we do, and he's holding a coffee cup and saying that line. Let me tell you, the high school version of me would have signed that. Signed for that one. That is for sure. We've got some great segments that we do here every now and then. We're going to do Higher Register at the top of the next hour. And again, it's did Mina Kimes go Higher Register a few times? The Chiefs defense kind of concerns me, which means, you know, it concerns her, but...
But
she's not all the way concerned about it.
Yeah,
she has to
I'm
go
not like concerned
register.
About the Chiefs defense.
Okay, so that's coming up. We have another segment that we haven't done yet since we've been on Disney Plus. It is taking some great moments of Jim Harbaugh at a press conference and coming up with this segment called The Harbaugh Files. Hit it.
Sometimes people that are standing on third base think they hit a triple, but they didn't.
The Harbaugh Files.
Man, I guess the first thing that jumps into my mind is like, in your face, you know? But if I was Quentin, that's what I'd be saying. Quentin's not saying that, but that's what I'd say, you know, if I was he. So allow me to say it for him, you know? Like, just something we used to say back in the 70s growing up. Maybe you remember that, Sam? Yeah, you know, say, we'll go to Sam on that one, you know? In your face! You know, so there's some satisfaction there.
The Harbaugh Files.
I should have set it up a little better. Quentin Johnson had the drop season. He had two touchdowns in Brazil. And in your face.
Your face.
Harbaugh Files. Always, we got to love them. We also do a segment every now and then on Bill Belichick press conference moment.
Sure.
Haven't done that just yet. We have a feeling there'll be some in North Carolina. We haven't done that segment in a long time because he hasn't had press conferences in a long time. Let's go to Gabriel in Los Angeles. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Gabriel?
Hey, Rich, how are you?
What's going on, Gabriel? I don't know if you're listening on 710 LA on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. If you are, we appreciate it. If not, that's okay, too. What's on your mind?
Yeah, no worries, no worries. First off, huge fan of the show. Hello to the guys over there.
What up, man? Hey,
what's up, man?
Let's go.
Thanks for finding
it's
it,
cracking.
Gabriel.
Yes, absolutely. I've been a long-time listener, first-time caller. Listen, I wanted to bring this up, and Brockman may appreciate this question and where I'm going with this, but I know everything got overshadowed with NFL being back, but Carlos Alcaraz just won the U.S. Open, didn't drop a set until the finals, destroyed Yannick Sinner, is returning to the world number one. The guy looks even better than before. So the question is, Rich Eisen,
yes, sir.
Do you still stand firm that you will score a point against them now, or do you finally relinquish that?
Gabriel in Los Angeles, it seems like you were just new to the program, but you asked a question that belies that you must have heard me say over and over and over again. I do believe I can get one single point against Carlos Alcaraz, should I be so fortunate to get that chance.
That's exactly right.
I'm asking you what you think my answer is going to be, if I'm going to back down and revise such a statement and belief based on seeing what he did at the United States Open, or stand firm and say, I absolutely can do it. Gabriel, how do you think I'm going to...
Gabriel.
Considering the fact that you stood firm when Brockman did an overreaction on that post French Open comeback win and how incredible that was, my belief is that you will continue to stand firm, that if you get on that court, you're going to take a point from that.
And here's how confident I am in this, Gabriel. I will allow Carlos to choose whatever surface he wants.
okay. All right.
His choice. You want to do clay, Carlos? Okay. You want to do grass, Carlos? Got it.
Okay.
You want to do hard courts? I'm there. Yeah. Let's go.
You want to do ping pong table? Sure.
Sting pong? with Carlos Alcaraz? Saying,
you might have a better chance.
I don't want to do that with him. He's 100 miles an hour. No, thanks. No, thanks. Gabriel, I'm not changing at all. 1 point.
Love it.
1 point, just like the pings in Red October. Just one. That's all I need. Thank you, Gabriel. One. That's it. And again, Marty Fish gave me the playbook. He's the one who told me, if I hit him on the fly with a serve, it's my point. And it's the pressure on him. He can't double. He can't hit one ball out. Not one. Everybody thinks.
I mean, I know.
Everybody thinks an unforced error is not possible. One unforced error. Pressure's on.
What makes you think you can hit him with a serve? Like, he's not going to see it.
Oh, it's simple.
That's what I mean. Like,
because you haven't seen my serve.
No, but okay. I see people serving at him 100 miles an hour.
Lob it in. He's standing right there on the line. He moves in.
Bam!
The one shot I practiced for this.
Yeah.
And say you miss it.
Is just lasering it on the fly.
Right, laser.
Like Sting Pong. With my kids.
Laser.
Just laser one. He can't. I understand he moves well. He's the king of sliding out of the way or sliding it. Just one on the fly.
And
it's mine.
So guys. He has a racket in his hand.
Yes, he does.
I don't understand how you think this is possible.
You don't think I can actually fire one up?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, sure.
Not against the number one player in the world. No. No. Stop.
I want to believe.
It's gotten out there.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got an email on Brazil night. I'm getting ready to broadcast, and I got an email from Timothy Oliphant.
Oh,
who's like, I hear you and Djokovic have something in common to get a point off of Carlos Alcaraz. That's what he emails me before I'm getting to call the Chiefs.
Email, no text, just email
for the Chiefs and the Chargers.
All right,
Tim Oliphant. He's a doubter. I don't care.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.